Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Dedication isn't born in the light of day. It's carved in the quiet hours before the world blinks awake. At Boar's Head, we rise with a mission to deliver craftsmanship worthy of your table. A slice of something special folded into every moment worth savoring. Because dedication means delivering only the very best. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Michael DiRocco, ESPN NFL Nation Jaguars reporter. Mike, good morning. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing today?
We're great. Really appreciate you taking time to join us. So, Mike, I want to start on the Calvin Ridley front. We all know, obviously, the player that Calvin Ridley was before the suspension last year. We know the situation from the gambling standpoint that he was in a year ago. And now he is entering into a situation where he's joining the Jags. They're going to be the AFC South favorite heading into the season. How big of a difference maker do you think he can be and will be for Trevor Lawrence in this offense?
Well, it was a top 10 offense. They ranked 10th in yards and points last year without him. So I think when you add a guy like Calvin Ridley, who, you know, may not be like that straight line burner, but is very quick, quick twitch guy, in and out of breaks really quick, and runs really good routes. I mean, I think that opens things up on the middle of the field a little bit more, even for Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram. But, you know, it's funny because everyone's like, is he going to have 1,000 yards? And I would think he'd come close, but man, don't forget that they've still got guys like Evan Ingram and Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, all three of whom set career highs in receptions and receiving yards last year. So I do think that he'll help them stretch the field a little bit more for sure, even though he isn't that straight line burner. But you know, this offense has got a chance to be, you know, a top five offense, especially when you're talking about the passing game, and it wouldn't be, you know, out of the question for Trevor Lawrence to kind of approach 5,000 yards, you know, because Doug Peterson, you know, he's wants to throw the ball. I mean, he'll run it, sure, but I mean, his main thing is we want to throw the football, and with Ridley, that gives them, you know, a third, fourth weapon that can get them, you know, big plays at any time.
And then, Michael, of course, the top three picks for this team go to offense as well. How much will Harrison matter, do you think, up front? Do you think Brenton Strange, Tank Bigsby are guys that, you know, are going to make a difference for this team as rookies?
Well, Harrison's going to be the starter at right tackle on opening day because we're expecting that news from the NFL to be released any point of Cam Robinson's suspension. So what they'll do is they'll slide Walker Little into the left tackle spot, and then Harrison will be the starter at right tackle unless there's some kind of unforeseen thing that happens in camp. But he's worked there through rookie minicamp and minicamp this week, and they're not training him anywhere else. They've made him the starter at right tackle for that opener. So it'll be really important. Now, what happens when Cam Robinson comes back, that's something that, you know, there's a lot of options that they could have. And one of those does include sending Harrison to the bench. But if he's playing really well, I mean, I can see a scenario in which they keep him out there and maybe move Walker Little inside to left guard. Strange is an interesting pick for them because I didn't think that they were going to address tight end that high in the draft this year. But, you know, that he gives them a guy that has a little bit of the move qualities that Evan Ingram has, but is a better inline blocker. So he's more of that more complete tight end. And he does give them the chance to kind of use two pass-catching tight ends on the field at the same time. They didn't really have that last year. Now, I don't know if that means this kid's catching 35 balls this year, but it does give them another option in that, you know, two tight end formation that they didn't get a chance to really use last year. And Bigsby, I think, is going to be a bigger player in the offense than maybe I originally thought when they drafted him. I thought he's going to be more of that, you know, they really struggled in short yardage last year, so they really want to be a more physical team up front and be a more physical team in terms of running the ball on third and short, fourth and short. But after watching him run around and catch the ball and talking to some of the assistant coaches, you know, it's not going to be a 50-50 split with Travis Etienne. But I do think he's going to be involved much more than maybe just an occasional rep here and there. I think there'll be times when he'll get a drive or two in a game to kind of be the guy. So they now have, you know, with D'Ernest Johnson that they signed in free agency, who did a good job kind of filling in for Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb several years ago. They now have three guys that really bring that running back room to maybe one of the two or three top position groups on the team. And last year it was really just Travis Etienne and nobody else once they traded James Robinson.
Michael Duracco with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Mike, we've talked with you before about Trevor Lawrence and his rookie year with Urban Meyer and the disaster that was, and the turnaround not only with the team but with him at the halfway point of last year and the run they went on to win the AFC South. What did you learn about Trevor Lawrence during that stretch? And with that and the weapons that you've laid out that he has at his disposal now, what do you think the expectations are for him this year? How good do you think he'll be?
What I learned is that he's pretty resilient. You know, he'd been the best player on every team he played on. And things, you know, I'm not saying the kid didn't work hard, because obviously he did, but things did come kind of easy to him. You know, he didn't face a lot of adversity. And sometimes when guys that have that situation face adversity for the first time, you don't know how they're going to react. And honestly, they probably don't even really know how they're going to react either. But he fought through it. He dealt with the Urban situation like a 10-year pro, you know, especially when it came to dealing with the media and answering questions about all the stupid stuff that Urban was doing. It was impressive to see. And I think that helped him significantly last year when the first half of that season didn't go very well. He was able to really kind of bounce back from that adversity as well, especially, you know, that bad game in London, which was the turning point for him last year. And I, you know, the expectations on Trevor Lawrence, you know, it's a, you know, he should be a 30 touchdown guy, and he should be in that 4,500 to 5,000 passing yards range this year. I mean, I think, you know, the team record, single season records for a quarterback were set by Blake Bortles, 35 touchdown passes. And, you know, I think it's 4,400 yards. Those are numbers that he should have no trouble getting close to and probably surpassing. So, you know, I don't know whether that makes him an MVP candidate or not, but I do know that with all the weapons he has, it should be a really, really productive year for him. And if that puts him, you know, if he hits those numbers, then that means this team is rolling and, you know, they're winning 11, maybe 12, 13 games, depending on how everything else goes. And they've got a chance to make a deep playoff run.
So, Mike, I feel like a lot of the NFL looks at the AFC South this year as Jacksonville and then a big gap and then three crappy teams. Do you view this as Jags clear and convincing favorites and then everyone else?
I view them as the favorites, but I don't view them as – I really like Mike Vrabel as a coach. And I grew up a Patriots fan, so maybe that has something to do with it. But, I mean, I just love the way his teams always adopt his personality and always are – they're just a tough out. And they're a physical team, and they smack you in the mouth. I do think the Jags are better, but I don't think it's going to be the cakewalk that everybody else thinks. Now, I just said, you know, they could win 11, 12, or 13 games, but, you know, that's if everything goes correctly. I'm not counting the Titans out. No way. I mean, look, they almost won that game in Jacksonville last year with Josh Dobbs. If it's not for that sack fumble, which I'm sure probably people up in Nashville are convinced was an incomplete pass.
Just they are.
You know, everybody in Oakland was convinced that that was an fumble with Tom Brady years ago. You know, if they don't get that, they don't win that game. I don't, you know, if the Titans punt, the Jags hadn't done anything after their first touchdown drive. I'm not convinced they win that game. So that all being said, as limited as that team was last year at that final game, the Jags got a little lucky. So, yeah, I don't think by any stretch of the imagination that it's the Jags and three crappy teams. I think it's the Jags, and I think the Titans are the next best team. And if the Jags aren't careful, they could find themselves in another situation like they did last year where it's going to be, you know, come down to the wire and it could be a problem.
Well, Mike, it's going to be a whole lot of fun to watch. We really appreciate you taking time to be with us. You're always very kind with your time, and we're looking forward to talking to you throughout the season coming up. Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Michael DeRocco, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN NFL Nation Jaguars reporter. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, on the Jags, the AFC South. How do you view this division? Do you view the Jaguars as the clear favorite? Are the Titans closing the gap on Jacksonville? How much would DeAndre Hopkins change all that? We'll get into all that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. Thanks to Michael DeRocco for being with us in the last segment. By the way, Michelle has found our dad joke winner for the day. What we got?
Yes, we do. So it's Michael. And Michael, if you're listening, you need to respond to our text right now so we can get your winner information. But I will ask you guys this. What did the horse say after it tripped?
I don't know.
Help, I've fallen. I can't giddy up.
Jeez.
There are a lot of good ones on there, but that one really knee slapper.
Okay, that was good, but Sean said, never date a tennis player. Love means nothing to them. Come on.
Wow, that's pretty good, too.
Yeah, that one was good, but I like the giddy up one.
There are a lot of good ones.
Michelle's opinion is really the only one that matters. She's the judge in this competition.
True.
I know.
Rexford's like, I'm a dad. Mine should matter.
I'm the judge critic.
We'll have two more opportunities tomorrow and Friday coming up with more dad jokes on the program. So looking forward to that. So Michael DeRocco laid it out pretty well. I think the weapons that they have offensively, they've got Calvin Ridley coming in. Zay Jones looked good last year. Christian Kirk, despite the outrageous contract that he's being paid, was a productive receiver for Jacksonville last year. And you have Evan Ingram. So Joe, the discussion around the Jags and the AFC South is pretty interesting. Now the flip side of that, Joe, is there is the schedule that people talk about. And they do have to play Kansas City. Now, they have that game at home. They have to go to England and play Buffalo. They have the San Francisco 49ers that they've got at home this year. They've got the Bengals that they have to play this year. I mean, there's a, you know, you look at the schedule, and beyond the obvious of the Jacksonville Jaguars playing against the NFC South, just like the Titans will be, there is the 49ers, Kansas City, Cincinnati part of the schedule, too, that you get with having the first-place schedule. So when you factor in the whole picture, do you believe that Jacksonville is the clear favorite in the AFC South? And do you buy that this offense for Jacksonville could be, in DeRocco's words, a top five offense in the NFL this year?
Well, top five is, I mean, that's lofty. Some really good offense in this league. But and he put out some, you know, some numbers that if you add them together, it's like, holy cow, I'm a number one offense in the league, you know, but as LD points out, I do think, first of all, I think Jacksonville is the favorite. They're my favorite. I do think this offense could be really good. Look, Doug Peterson, it's what he does. It immediately worked, right? He goes in there and immediately works. I mean, he ends up getting bounced in Philly, but we know that there was, you know, one guy in particular had to make that a huge headache for any coach, you know, when he was there. And he comes right in and like undoes whatever was done, you know, to Trevor Lawrence in his first year in terms of his game. And
he's a good coach.
And, you know, we joke about the, you know, golf course changing the culture and stuff, but he's a good coach, and I like Ridley a lot. You know, you would obviously hope that Ridley, given this extremely excessive suspension, would be motivated to come out and show that he's a really good receiver. Add that plus this young tight end and another running back, good running. I mean, they got a lot to like. If the offensive line, they have some depth now. So I like them. I think they're the favorite. It was refreshing to hear someone who actually covers these teams and knows the teams in the AFC South give a reasonable, reasoned, measured, smart take about the race, you know, which it shows you don't just have to be on WHMR to think the Titans
that's correct
have a chance. I mean, the rest of the NFL just completely dismissive of the Titans and talking about top five pick. And I think DeRocco nailed it on the Titans there.
Well, I think so too. And the number one schedule is something that you can't deny here. Now, the thing is, and I hear, I get it, right? And even DeRocco laid it out in the last segment too. Everybody talks about, well, the Titans almost won the division last year, and they almost won that game in Jacksonville with Josh Dobbs as quarterback, which is true. And we all saw it. Now, I think the thing that has always kind of bothered me about that is everybody just assumes like that everything's staying the same and like it's all linear and it transfers from one year to the next, and I don't buy that. And I also think like Trevor Lawrence, I think to me, is pretty clearly an ascending player. Like, he got a lot better in the second half of last year. And with the weapons that he does have, in all seriousness, like, I think he's going to be really good this year. There's no reason for me to believe that Trevor Lawrence isn't going to have a really good year for Jacksonville. So I get the number one schedule part of it, and I get that, you know, they're gonna play against some good teams. And I think the Titans are going to have a chance to win the AFC South. But I also think Trevor Lawrence is going to be really good, and I think that he's an ascending player. And I think that we can't just assume that everything's staying the same. They're bringing in Calvin Ridley, and you know the Titans and the Jags are right there together, and Trevor Lawrence isn't getting any better. Like, Ryan Tannehill, to me, is what he is, right? He's a good quarterback, but Ryan Tannehill's not getting better. Like, he's in his mid-30s. He is what he is. Trevor Lawrence is getting better. He is an improving player in this league, and I think he's going to have a really good year. So how much of a difference does that make? Could that make? If he takes a big jump, I mean, that could make a gigantic difference. They could be clearly the favorite in the AFC South.
For sure. No, I mean, like, I think it's possible. I mean, I went through the schedules. I think I went 11-6 Jags, even with that first place schedule, and 9-8 Titans. So a gap, you know, there still between the teams. Yeah, and to your point, will there be a sizable gap between Lawrence and Tannehill? Because I don't think there was last year. I mean, there was in terms of like the two offenses. The Titans had absolutely one of the bottom five offenses in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, but like those two guys, the gap, I think I'd say that last year when Tannehill was on the field and before he got hurt and everything, pretty close. But that's also Trevor Lawrence's second season, but it's also kind of like his rookie season, given all the clown show of his actual rookie year. So that's probably the biggest question is, you know, what is his actual ceiling? I mean, I haven't seen anything, you know, that makes me think, boy, Trevor Lawrence number one pick was a mistake. But I don't know for sure that he's going to end up actually living up to that. And, you know, there's always the number one pick. Usually it's a quarterback, but some years there's no question. This is a number one pick. This is a generational quarterback.
Right.
And that's what Trevor Lawrence was. That was the word on, there was no drama that year. You just knew that whoever got the number one pick was going to pick Trevor Lawrence. So it's a lot to live up to, but I'm with you. I'm fascinated to see how much better he can get.
Well, I am too. And, you know, what is Calvin Ridley? Like, we've all seen Calvin Ridley play, and we know that he's very good. Now, he hasn't played in over a year at this point, and there were injury concerns even before all this. So can he stay healthy, and what exactly is he still? We're going to find out. But certainly, you know, bringing in Calvin Ridley should not hurt this offense. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What do you say, fellas? Hey, man, I miss Urban Meyer so much. Like, skipping the plane ride and trying Tebow at tight end, and you know, getting lap dances at the bar, all this stuff, man. Like, he was holding the Jaguars down perfectly, and here we go, man. No, I kind of like what that guy had to say. I do think the Jaguars are the clear favorite, but what does that mean, dude? Like, that's the clear favorite in the absolute worst division. I don't think any Titans fan who's not delusional would say the Jaguars are the favorite. However, the Jaguars have never won back-to-back. We know that. We had a top defense, and we almost did. You could talk about the teams are going to change. We don't have Dobbs. Okay, we don't have Dobbs anymore, which means we're clearly better than what we did last year. So I think it's only better for us. Them losing their top lineman, it's not being spoke of enough. I think, look what happens when Lawan goes down. It's a big problem for us. So I think Cam Robinson's going to be an issue for him. So I think the Titans have a good chance this year. I think all the pressure is on Jacksonville. So I actually like where we are heading into it.
Thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, it is a good point. I mean, they did not have Tannehill in the last game and still almost won the game. Now, it is worth pointing out that Tannehill did play in the other Jacksonville game at home, and Jacksonville destroyed the Titans in that game. That was also the same week that, you know, they fired their general manager and all that stuff. So that did happen.
Yes. The owner was the Jags' 12th player at all times.
Yes.
It was after the plane from Green Bay. Hashtag plane from Green Bay.
Well, it was after the Eagles game, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it was good times. I remember that week. That was fun. Really enjoyed that. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line.
What a year. And
welcome in Mark from Nashville. Mark, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing, Joe, Dale, Robbie?
Good, buddy. Good, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing okay. Joe, I'm getting ready to head out here to Kansas City today, man. I mean, all this traffic out here on 24 is a beast. But I want to talk to y'all about the Titans and stuff and go over your debate later on today. But I'm going to have to get a Jags at division this year, Robbie, by a couple of games. I think they're younger. They're better. They got a better team than what the Titans have right now. I think the Titans don't want to admit it, but they're kind of in a little rebuild state. I just think they got too many more weapons on offense. Their defense is a little better. So I'm going to get the Jaguars that division by at least two games this year.
All right.
And they'll sweep both games, Nashville and Jacksonville. But back to you, Joe. I need you today, man. I need you to win, Joe. I need you to get some consistency going. You won the other week, but I need you to build a winning streak, Joe. 2-3 straight, 4, whatever you got to do by any means necessary, Joe.
No mercy.
I need you to do it, man. No mercy, Joe. Don't take no prisoners. No prisoners, Joe. Be as aggressive as you can be. Interrupt Steelman as much as you can. Overtalk him, overstate him. Do whatever you got to do, Joe. Yeah, I know it is, Joe, but you can do it, man. You can do it, Joe.
All right, I'm pumped. Hey. I'm ready. I need this to happen right after, you know, call us, you know.
Yeah, Joe. Yeah, I ain't going nowhere, man. I told you, Joe, I'm your sports psychologist man. You know. Yeah. Just make that check just make that check payable, Joe.
That's
I'll give you
that
address a little later, man.
Right.
A little later, man.
Mark, good to hear from you, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
All right, man. We'll see y'all.
All right, Mark in Nashville. Right, the legendary. Mark in Nashville here on the program. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans and the Jags, 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. We'll also get to some news on the NHL coaching front that I think Predators fans will find fascinating. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the AFC South, 615-737-1025. I got a text that says, I also look at the defenses that Jacksonville is playing with their first-place schedule, and a lot of the top teams don't necessarily have a great defense, like Kansas City or Cincinnati, so that will help Jacksonville's offense be even better. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line. LD from McMinnville says, I'm okay with the Jags being the favorite, but good grief. That beat writer has to be on the payroll. I've never heard Wyatt pump the Titans' tires that much. This is from LD from McMinnville, talking about Michael Duraco. I don't think he's pumping them that much, was he?
No. This is, again, fans who hate a certain team, the beat writer of that team is the biggest homer in the world. He wasn't. I mean, you know, he was talking up. I think everything he said makes sense. Will it be as good? Will they all hit those marks? I don't know, but no. I mean, I thought he was not a super homer there, LD.
Maddie on the text line just said Mark just dropped a Mick to Rocky speech to Joe. He's a bum, Joe. When you're down, you got to get back up. Cut him off and keep swinging. Was very inspirational for Mark.
It was. I mean, the problem is, it's like, you know, like, I mean, if Caroline asks one of those questions, it's like guaranteed. Like I'm trying to think, what would be the question? Like, do you think Kevin Byard situation is a big deal? And
you just touched your face. Are you lying?
Joe's lying.
But I'm nervous. I'm nervous. Jeez. I think, right? It can mean you're nervous, which means you're lying, or I'm just nervous. I'm nervous about being asked about Kevin Byard. Like, if it's a big deal, because I'm not going to agree that it's like, oh my God, like all season he's going to like not tackle people because he's mad at the Titans. Or what about the Treylon Burks mad about the, you know, the Michelle Caroline narrative about
that?
Oh my goodness.
Treylon Burks being mad about
first off,
irate.
No.
DeAndre Hopkins, keep him away.
Could be. Not is, could be.
Okay, that's fine. All I know is if that question is asked, then I lost.
True.
It's over. So I feel bad for you. So yeah, you know. So, Mark, I appreciate all the motivation, but some of this is out of my control, man. I will try to interrupt Jared a lot, though.
I will say, you know, Jared was on vacation last week, and, you know, I was listening in on Monday, and within the first 30 minutes, he had brought up the face touching again and was getting after it, and then sent me the video of Rabel touching his face in the press conference. He was alluding to. It was beautiful.
Wow,
nice and rested after vacation.
I'll be honest with you. I would rather subscribe to a website with Jared analyzing face touching than PFF.
Well, there is that.
I will say, if I'm Vrabel or a Tennessee Titans player and I like heard that take somehow through the grapevine, I would just start touching my face left and right.
Well, we need to go
press conference.
What we need to do, like, you know, we've got Aaron Brewer video at the podium of him talking about how he's in the 290 range. We need to go back and look and see whether or not Aaron Brewer was touching his face when he was talking about being 290 pounds. Then we can get to the bottom of a couple of different issues. The face touching issue and whether or not Aaron Brewer is actually 194 pounds out there like Jared thinks he is.
That's a good idea. I was truly hopeful that he would take Jared up on, I forget even what the bet was, but he was like, if you can step on a scale, Jared was going to donate something to his charity, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on,
step
man.
Step on, Aaron. Let's see it.
Have a heavy weekend of, you know, like a lot of biscuits, extra biscuits, you know, extra beans.
Some gravy.
Yeah. Load the gravy up and then get on that scale.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like Bryce Young did.
Yeah. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe, the New York Rangers have made it official. Peter Laviolette is the next head coach of the New York Rangers. So we wondered, would it be Peter Laviolette? Would it be John Hines? Was it actually down to Peter Laviolette versus John Hines? Is a very interesting question to me as well. But Peter Laviolette ends up winning the day, and he is the next head coach of the New York Rangers. What do you make of that hire by New York, and what do you make of that fit for Peter Laviolette with the Rangers?
Well, yeah, I mean, it sounded like it was close, and then that John sounded like John Hines really made a push, right? So, I mean, I think Laviolette makes sense given what he's done in his career. I think that team is in a spot where he has done some of his best work, so it makes sense. It didn't work out for him in his last stop, but every stop before that, the pattern was somewhat similar. You know, he got a good team to the highest level, to at least the Stanley Cup final. So I think it makes sense. I mean, I think it makes more sense to, because I don't know who else, but I think it does sound like it was those two. I mean, I would hire Laviolette, especially at that point, over John Hines. You know, John Hines, I think he'll get another chance at some point, but he hasn't demonstrated postseason success, regardless of what teams he's had. He hasn't done it. Laviolette has. And so I'm here for that. I'm here for Laviolette and New York media all day. Because Rangers media, a little different than Islanders media.
Oh, yes.
A little different situation.
I mean, I remember his days in Philly, which is also kind of a different situation, and those were fun.
Yeah. Well, I always thought that, like, based on how he did stuff here, I was like, God, those Philly guys must have just been brutal or something, because, you know,
just can't stand it.
Well, especially like when I did something, you know, I wrote this big story on him when they made that run, and I talking to people who covered him with the Islanders and Canes, and it was like, oh man, Lavi, have a pool party, we just go hang out, and I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I think the Philly media spoiled everything. So, hey, the fact that he's willing to go into this fray, this is going to be interesting.
It's going to be really interesting, and it's like it's a team that's kind of tailor-made for what his skill set is, right? I mean, he's pretty clearly demonstrated, with basically the exception of the Washington job, which is his most recent job. But he's pretty much demonstrated that he comes in, he gets a team to play really well, and within the first 3 or 4 years, you're heading to a Stanley Cup final. I mean, he did that in Carolina, won the cup, did that in Philadelphia, lost in the cup final, did that here in Nashville, lost in the cup final. So, I mean, as you said, the postseason success is there. Now, the Rangers also fired one of their assistant coaches yesterday. It was on Gerard Gallant's staff, and I could pretty much tell you that Kevin McCarthy's probably coming in on that one, would be my guess.
Oh, yes.
Package deal.
Kato. He's in.
So, I'm interested to see how he does. I was thinking about this, too, yesterday, Joe, and I'd be interested to know Predators fans, like, what their answer would be, because every year in the offseason, I kind of go through, like, this stupid list in my head of, like, the Predators' all-time lineup, like, who would I put in it? Like, if you had to pick an all-time coach for the Predators to coach the team, who would it be? Would it be Trotz or Lavi? I mean, Laviolette obviously had more postseason success here than Barry Trotz ever had. Barry Trotz was here for 14 years. I'm talking strictly the coach, not Trotz's GM. I don't think that Hines would be in the conversation with those two with anybody. But would it be Trotz or would it be Laviolette as your all-time Preds coach?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
Because, you know, because Laviolette obviously had the most success, but I shouldn't say that. I was about to say Trotz didn't have teams like that, but Trotz did have that 06-07 team and some really good teams. I don't remember exactly how good that 11 team was that lost to Vancouver, but pretty good team. They had that team that lost to Arizona had the, you know, Radulov, what, sneak out of the hotel room or whatever,
yes,
the heck? What was that? That was 12, right?
That was 12. That team was very good. 11 was kind of a talented surprise team. 12 team was loaded up.
That was a
Pecorine
special.
Yeah. 12 team was loaded up pretty well.
I mean, ultimately, they both are cup-winning coaches.
Yep.
I mean, I think Barry Trotz since Nashville has really, and especially just what he did with the Islanders, you know, was, to me, also a real feather in his cap. I'd probably go him. It's a good debate. I mean, Laviolette had the only cup final team in Preds history, and he had the only President's Trophy winner, so that's a good one. I'd like to see the actual voting of the fan base.
Yeah, like I think it would be one where there would be a lot of fans that would go either way on that one. I think it would be, I don't know, split down the middle, but I think it'd be pretty close. I mean, look, the bottom line is I think Peter Laviolette's a really good coach, and I think he's got a shelf life. Like, I think that's the best way I know how to describe it. Like, I think he's a very good coach, and I think his style with the team has an expiration date to it. And I mean, I guess you could say that about pretty much every head coach in the league, but his really has an expiration to it. I'd put, like, Peter DeBoer in the same category. It's kind of the same thing with him in there. But, like, Laviolette, you got about 3-4 years. Now, and that's the thing with this job. Like, you may not have that long. Like, they need to have immediate postseason success. I'm not saying he's going to get fired after 1 year, but if they get 2 years down the road and there's not enough postseason success to show for it, I mean, they just fired Gerard Gallant after his second year. In the first year, they got to the Eastern Conference Final. In the second year, they were really good and got lost in the first round. If you don't have the postseason success with that job, you're going to get fired.
Yeah, no, it's quick. It's gonna be real quick. So, like, you at least to me, like, this year, yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, I guess if there's a total flame out or something, but I feel like to feel good, you got to get to conference finals. I do think on that Preds vote I think that there'd probably be some like sentiment toward Trotz because he's so much more well liked.
I agree.
Even though that's not the question. I think that would probably swing it in his favor, though.
I agree. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. The Nashville Sounds having a block party coming up on Junior Gillum Way from 3 to 5 p.m. this Saturday in honor of 615 Week. There'll be live music, inflatables, balloon artists, food trucks, hair braiding, and much more. A free event coming up this Saturday before the Sounds game, so make sure you check that out. Coming up next, it's time for the Rob Rant. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
We're vibing, Robbie.
Hey, Robbie. Still vibing, kid?
We're vibing, Robbie. Vibing, 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 vibing. We're vibing, Robbie.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45, either the Rob Rant, the Rex Rant, or the Red Rant. Only one of us has a mashed up Ryan Johansson intro video, though.
That is very true.
This one right here. Vibing.
Never gets old.
It does not get old. Nor does the reaction that Ryan Porth had the first time he made that video. It was good stuff. I can still see it in my brain.
Hyena laugh? That happens. Hyena laugh?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No question. All right. So I just want to kind of get back into a discussion that we've had here on the show, because there's a wide range of opinions on it, and that is the goaltender conversation that we've talked about specifically with UC Soros, but I mean, we've kind of taken it to a deeper kind of philosophical discussion on the goaltending position around the NHL and what's worth spending money. And now there's officially another chapter added to that list, Joe Rexrod, with Adin Hill winning the Stanley Cup last night. You know, he was the backup for Vegas heading into the playoffs. He was actually further down on the depth chart than that when the season began, because they had Robin Leonard in goal, and they've had a couple. They had Logan Thompson. They trotted out there. I mean, he was basically like their fourth guy. So they've gone through the goaltenders, and you know, they made a trade for Jonathan Quick to bring him in at some point, and then Adin Hill overtook him. So you can make an argument. You can make the argument at one point that he was basically like their fifth guy, their fifth goalie, and he just won the Stanley Cup. And there's all these videos surfacing of Adin Hill and the Golden Knights celebrating in Vegas last night, which I would imagine is quite the celebration. I don't know if it's going to rival the Washington Capitals from 2018 when they're all swimming in the fountain in the middle of downtown D.C., but quite the celebration unfolding with the Vegas Golden Knights. But really, you know, just bringing up the question about goaltending, what's worth investing in, how much is worth investing in, and we talk about it because UC Soros' next contract, he's going to get paid a ton of money, and he should be. Like, he is a top three goalie in the league. I don't, you know, everybody says, everybody basically agrees top five. I don't really know how you could go below top three based on the consistency level that he's had in the last 3 or 4 years. He's always right there. So you're talking about a top five goalie at worst, top three goalie, in my opinion, in the league in UC Soros. He's going to make a lot of money in a couple of years when his contract comes up. Is it worth investing in? Is it not worth investing in? And, Joe, I am totally fine if you believe that paying UC Soros is the way to go, whether it's $9 million a year, $9.5 million a year, $10 million a year, whatever that next deal looks like. If you believe the Predators should do that, that's totally fine with me. It's a reasonable take. He'll probably be worth the money. So I have no problem with that position. I hold a different one. I think they'd probably be better off not paying him that money, using that money to build the team around the next goalie, and using your first-round draft pick in Yaroslav Askarov and hoping that he's the next guy. And maybe he's not as good as UC Soros, but if you build the right team around him, he doesn't have to be as good as UC Soros in order for you to win a Stanley Cup. So you can agree with me. You can disagree with me. All that's fine. One thing that I think we got to get over in this discussion, and I've seen it on the text line. I've seen it with people texting with me. You know, Chase was talking about it a little bit yesterday. We got to get over the, if you trade UC Soros this offseason, next year's team takes a step back. Who cares? What do you think next year's team is going to be if they have UC Soros on it and it's fully intact? Do you think that that's a Stanley Cup contender with that roster, with the young guys that they have? Let me tell you what the best case scenario in my mind for the Predators team is next year. If they have UC Saros and they do what we think they're going to do this offseason and go younger and bring up some of the young guys. The best case scenario is that they're a bubble team like they have been and they're on the right side of the bubble and they make the playoffs. That's the best case scenario for the Predators next year, in my opinion. And guess what? They basically told you that. Like Barry Trotz and David Poyle, the message all offseason long has been, yep, we're going to be looking for sentiment. We're going to be looking for good young players. We're going to be looking to move up in the draft, all these things. Be patient. How many times have they said be patient this offseason? So they're basically telling you what next year's team is going to be. So we've got to get over in this discussion, regardless of where you stand on the UC Saros front, well, if you trade him now, next year's team's going to take a step back. I could not care less about that. And I don't think Barry Trotz could care less about that. Do they want to be bad next year? No, I'm sure they don't. But like this idea that you can't trade UC Saros right now because next year's team would be affected by it, Barry Trotz is not coming into this job with next year's team in mind. He's coming into this job to try to ultimately build this team to get to being a Stanley Cup contender. And regardless of what they do this offseason, next year's team is not going to be a Stanley Cup contender. So can we please drop, however you feel about UC Saros, that's fine. You can want them to sign him to an extension, I'm cool with it. But can we please drop the, oh, next year's team will take a step back if they trade him. No, it does not matter. Who cares?
Right, like, first of all, it's obvious, right? I mean, of course it will. That should never enter the decision-making process. And also, like, if you're a Preds fan who has been rightfully griping about being a bubble team, being in the middle, being stuck there and unable to really change things, but you're not really content. Well, why? So now all of a sudden it's really important to be that next year?
Yeah. Like, look, let's say they keep Saros, which I still think is the most likely thing they're going to do this offseason, that Saros is going to be back. He's going to be on the team. And he plays really well, which he will do if he's healthy next year. They'll be on the bubble. They'll be good enough to be in the mix for the playoffs. And I can listen to the, you know, it would be good for guys like Evangelista, Parson, and all these other guys that are younger to get some playoff experience at the NHL level. That's fine. I mean, if you want to talk about that part of it, whatever. That's fine. But like this idea that you can't make a decision on UC Saros right now because of the effect it'll have on next year's team. Like, if that's the way you're operating, you're probably not going to like the results at the end of the day of where your franchise is heading. Like, you've got to, in some way, you've got to have the big picture in mind. And there are times, Joe, that we've seen. We've seen it here in Nashville. You know, in 2016, 2017, 2018, having the big picture in mind was way less important. You were trying to win a cup. There are times where your philosophy has to shift. We've seen it shift with the Predators, which I think is a really good thing with what they did at the deadline this last year. And it's now more about the long term than it is the short term.
Yeah, look, the business people, the ticket people, the ownership group, hey, look, if they're all like, yeah, I'd really much rather make the playoffs next year than not, I get that. But you got this is absolutely the time when you're talking about the ultimate goal, which I think everyone shares in the ultimate goal in that organization, which is to win a cup. Then, like you, there are times where you just have to make some sacrifices and be willing to take a step back. Which again, last trading deadline was that, so they actually finally did it. So now you don't do that, and I understand there's a GM change, but you don't do that. Start that process and then say, "Oh, got to make the playoffs next year." Like you said, Robbie, I mean, they've been telling us, as much as, you know, they're excited about some of the returning players, young players, et cetera, and Saros is going to make it tough to lose too many games, they still are that messaging is frequent.
Well, and again, like in terms of just the Saros conversation itself, I mean, there are people who say that you are crazy for even entertaining the idea of trading UC Saros based on how good he is. And if that's your position, that's fine. Like, I don't have any problem with that. UC Saros is a great player. There's no doubt about it. He's an elite player, and he's one of the top goalies in the league. So if you think that the idea of trading him is ludicrous, that's fine. Like, you're entitled to that opinion. I don't have any problem if you feel that way. I disagree with that, but that's fine. The obsession with next year's team, I don't really get. To me, next year is all about helping you determine which path you're taking in the future, right? Like, what do you have in some of these younger guys? How good is Luke Evangelista and Yusso Parsonen and some of this younger core? Like, can you position yourself and acquire more assets? Can you get yourself into a position where you're a player in free agency in the summer of 2024? Like, it's about all those things way more than it is about how many games the Predators win next year, at least in my mind.
And look, I know that fan, you know, once you're going through it, you buy season tickets, right? I mean, you want to be entertained. You want your team to win. But that is, I think that's got to be the mindset, is you get a chance to see. And look, maybe Evangelista, Person, and some of those guys, Thomas Seale makes a huge, maybe they're accelerated and they are so prepared, or they take jumps, and like, it's a better team than we think it will be. But I think you got to be realistic.
Now, there's another part of this that I have a problem with that I don't have a whole lot of time for, but Eric on the text line. There are probably as many cup champions built around a top goalie as there are two top centermen. They could have top goalie sewn up for 15 years if they played this right with Saros and Askarov. There's not a scenario where you play this right with both. UC Saros is 28 years old. Like, is Askarov going to sit on the bench for 10 years? Like, it's not happening. So
there you go.
There's not a scenario where you can play it right with both of them. One of them's going to be here. And one of them's not.
It doesn't time out, and the comparison to Saros Rinne is a flawed comparison. It's not the same thing at all.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans, the DeAndre Hopkins situation, and his thoughts on the AFC South as it currently stands as well. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.